you have your Bible with you this evening, please turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We are in 1 Peter chapter 3. And this evening we will be considering one verse only, verse 7. And I will begin reading in verse 1 for context. Join me once again as we go before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, you have given us your word to teach us, to guide us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness. You've given us your word, and we so wonderfully and gloriously see you revealed therein. We see Jesus, our great Savior, our Redeemer, our friend. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless us now as we consider the truths therein that you have for us this evening. Impress them deep in our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the very word of God written for you and for me today. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word to us. Well, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the witness of having good and honorable living before believers hits close to home because it's present in marriages in the home, that potentially brings a set of trials and challenges. And this is one of the big reasons that Peter spoke to and gave instruction to those in this station of life. How should a believing wife put forth Christ in her conduct before the watching world, and specifically before her watching and maybe unreasonable and difficult husband? Peter taught us that a wife's godly submission to her unbelieving husband wasn't merely so that her husband would find what he saw interesting. It also has the purpose that by God's grace and work, he may be won, literally gained. And wives, such living is important for you to be self-aware of and examine your hearts about regularly. Also, are you concerned not so much with how you look on the outside versus having beautiful character as seen by a gentle and quiet spirit within? For God says this is where true beauty is found. And as women consider Peter's words, but may struggle with such a spirit, such submission, you're called to remember that you're not alone. You have a line of examples and godly women to follow. They sought to be faithful, and you're called to do the same. But what about the other half in the marriage? Peter doesn't only address wives and their conduct. How should believing husbands do good in relation to their wives? What should that look like? Well, Peter sums up his words to husbands in one verse that has rich content. And as we consider these words, husbands, I encourage you to examine your hearts and your conduct in your home in light of what Peter says. Young men, I encourage you to listen and to learn, as these words will help you if the Lord would provide you with a wife in the future. And so here, Peter's instruction regarding how husbands need to dwell in verse 7a. To whom they need to give honor and why in 7b. And the warning about not doing so in 7c. But look here at what Peter says regarding dwelling with your wives' husbands. In 7a, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, he says. And so, if you look at this, having just described how a godly wife should live in submission to her husband, Peter now instructs husbands by saying, husbands, likewise. In other words, as godly wives dwell with and submit to their husbands, husbands are also to do good in how they dwell with their wives. A godly husband is a man who is submitting to Christ's lordship in the home. And further, husbands must submit to Christ and serve him by submitting to his will in our marriages. In our service to Christ, we are called to show our genuine love of Christ, as should be evident at home in our love for our wives. And so how are you to relate to your wife, men? You are to dwell. You are to have an intimate relationship together with her in the home, to lovingly take care of all of your covenant responsibilities in your marriage with her. And importantly, Peter says you are to live with her with understanding, literally according to knowledge. And what does this mean? Well, it means two things, really. First, understanding your call before God. And secondly, having an understanding of her, your wife. Marriage for a godly husband isn't a relationship with an iron fist, but rather a relationship that is full of wisdom and thoughtfulness. Men, seek to understand and to know who your wives are. Doing so is to influence and affect the manner in which you live together with them. Know who your wife is and how God has created her to be. We should truly be the one who, second to God, knows our wife the best. We need to seek to understand how she thinks, how she feels, how she loves, how she relates. Seek to know her struggles, her doubts, her worries, her needs, and her joys with sympathy. And seek to know her and live with her as her advocate, not as her opponent. Live with her as her advocate, not as her opponent. Or even, if you would like to flip that, live with her, not thinking that she's your opponent. Live with her as she is your helpmeet, knowing that she isn't your enemy, and live with her and seek to display tender mercy to her. How well do you know your wife, husbands? Is she your ultimate confidant and best friend? Where are the challenges in your relationship in truly knowing her and living with understanding? How much time do you spend talking with your wife and investing in your relationship with her? Don't be a husband that would be comfortable saying, you know, Pastor, I've given up on trying to know and understand my wife a long time ago. Right? Or on the flip side, I know her all too well, Pastor, and sometimes I don't like what I see. And that may be true. But what are you doing to fulfill your God-given duty to live with her with understanding? Peter says husbands are to see their wives as Christ sees them. Godly husbands are to be wise and prudent. Wise and prudent. As God gives us our wives, in part to see that they grow daily in grace, we need to know the Word and our wives well, so that we can personally and meaningfully point them to Jesus and teach them His Word. Men, you need to faithfully feed and nurture your wife in the Word. And further, we are to know the Word of God and what God calls us to do in such wisdom and knowledge, and then seek to be faithful in being thoughtful and caring and affectionate towards them. And it's not okay. All of us men, all of us husbands, should be convicted by these very things. Because we all fail miserably, often. But it's not okay for us to just throw in the towel and say, well, I'm never going to be able to do that. Or, I've tried that so many times and I failed. I'm just giving up. This is just how life is. No, no, no. See what the Lord calls you to do. What the Lord calls you to do, He will equip you to do. You need to be on your knees in prayer, praying that He will help you to do these very things. Get back up. Continue to press forward, seeking to be faithful in these ways. Paul told Corinth in 1 Corinthians 7:3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. So notice that. Sometimes we like to put the measuring stick on our relating to our wives and what kind and how much affection we should give her. But yet the Lord says here that we need to render the affection due to her. God decides that. He's established these relationships. He's ordained these godly marriages. And here are two sinners in such a marriage who are imperfect, who sin against each other often. And sometimes where Satan likes to get the wedges of division in is even in the realm of affection, the realm of closeness and intimacy. Because if he can divide you there, he can divide you in a very core part of your relationship. And if he can keep you at opposite ends of the house, instead of really seeking to pursue one another, then he's doing a very devious work compared and in light of how God has designed that relationship to be. Colossians 3:19 says this, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Men, remember that Paul and Peter both knew the struggle. They knew the temptation and sin in marriages, which made their exhortations here all the more needed. We too often aren't affectionate with our wives, as I said, or we withhold affection from them when we're upset or feeling disconnected with them. Temptation regularly knocks on the door of our hearts to be bitter, to be sinfully angry, to be prideful, and to see the effects of that pride and division in our marriage. To be harsh toward them, especially after an argument or a fight. But God gives us such direction because correction in our marriages is often needed. There's a reason why this was one of Peter's three stations of life that he focused on in emphasizing and spotlighting honorable conduct. in believers. Correction is often needed in our marriages, and we don't need to live like it isn't. When it's plain as day, when someone looks closely. Sure, we like to be whitewashed on the outside, right? We like to have it look great. In fact, as long as we can present it as being great, for as long as we can, we feel like we're doing okay there too. But is it crumbling on the inside? Correction is needed. And this is where the Word of God is wonderful. And that it does just that. It helps bind and put things back together, reframe our perspectives as things ought to be. We need to be told to be rightly affectionate with our wives, men. We need to be told to live with them according to knowledge. Frankly, the more wisdom and understanding we have with them, the more we will behave ourselves. And if we're honest, we need to behave ourselves a lot better. Remember Paul's words to Ephesus in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And so similar to Paul, Peter's words here in verse 7 point us to Christ and his model marriage with the church. He, as the faithful husband and head of the church, dwells with us with perfect understanding and knowledge. Christ is our sympathetic high priest who knows every single one of our weaknesses, every single one of our temptations, and yet he is without sin. Jesus is perfectly wise. He's perfectly thoughtful and caring toward us. And he's so very patient and kind with us. He faithfully feeds us with his word. And he provides for all of our needs. And so Peter goes on in 7b, as we keep this in mind, by saying, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. So as we dwell with our wives with knowledge and understanding, Peter says that we are also to honor them. And what does this mean? Because I don't know if you're like me, but I could make up some definitions of what I think honoring Stacy and my success at doing that is, and I may be way off the mark. What does this mean? Giving honor means that we are to be void of contempt and are to give her respect, to support her, to protect her, to place our trust and confidence in her. And Peter gives us two reasons for why we must do this. Look at that. One, she is the weaker vessel. And secondly, husbands and wives are heirs together of the grace of life. And so he speaks to her first as the weaker vessel. And now when this verse is read or these words are mentioned in relation to women and wives, it's too often true that many are offended that Peter would refer to wives in such a way. How dare he? The reality is that this is God's reference, and it's not derogatory. It's not derogatory. Wives aren't lesser than or somehow subhuman in comparison to their husbands. In fact, the Greek word for weaker is referring to physical strength and constitution, not to intellect or moral or spiritual or mental ability. Paul said to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12:23, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor." Wives are to have such greater honor bestowed upon them by their husbands. Give it to them, husbands. They are due to it from God. God says, give them honor. If you think about it, Peter wanted husbands to remember this truth about their wives for good reasons. It emphasizes and it bolsters our view of our need to live with them in understanding and care. Husbands must not misuse or abuse their strength and power, especially with their wives. Weaker vessels need to be handled gently and with care. Peter puts a spotlight here on our need to not neglect our wives, but on the contrary, we need all the more to support and protect and to care for them. There is also a sense, brothers, of chivalry, maybe even we could say southern couth and etiquette, that needs to return to the lives of husbands in respect and care that we give our wives. But Peter then tells us the second reason husbands should honor them. Again, as being heirs together of the grace of life. And what is he pointing to here? Though our wives are weaker in strength and physical constitution when compared to us, grace is offered to them no less than it is offered to you. We are equal in our calling in Jesus Christ to the same grace and glory. We are equal in our access to the benefits of our union with Christ as heirs together. We see this wonderful matching. We see this wonderful God-ordained and designed union in marriage. The husband honoring and caring and loving his wife well, dwelling together with her, protecting her, caring for her, as well as seeing the two walking side by side as equals and heirs together of grace. Galatians 3:28 says this, "There is neither Greek nor Jew, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so believing husbands and wives have access together in Christ to the wonderful inheritance of eternal life. And how joyful a reality that that should be in our hearts and in our minds. But then notice how Peter wraps up verse 7. He gives a warning for not doing so. To really press home the point. To really help in the realm of zeal and motivation and commitment. There is a reality that we need to understand, men, that your prayers may not be hindered. That your prayers may not be hindered. Peter teaches us, brothers, that we as Christian men, as Christian husbands, must be prayerful men. That's his first point. We must be prayerful men. Don't miss that nor forget it. So a good question is, do you pray, brothers? Is your voice often heard in heaven? We all need to grow in being prayerful men. And if that's a struggle, today's the day to begin that and to grow in that. But regarding prayer, Peter also teaches that there are unhindered and hindered prayers. He speaks of the hindered prayers. And so our prayers may not be hindered, and that points us to the reality that there are unhindered prayers. The book of Psalms, in fact, is a wonderful prayer book, isn't it? And in it, we find many of David's prayers and other psalmists' prayers that would be considered unhindered. Let's consider a few together. Psalm 3, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 3, verses 3 and 4. "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. Now, once again, along with the content of that prayer, keep in mind what that word Selah at the end means there in Hebrew. It really calls us to pause and to consider, to meditate on what was just said. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. The voice of a prayer of the servant of the Lord, and the open ears of his Lord hearing him, and him being confident and aware of that. And again in Psalm 5, just two Psalms over, verses 1 through 3, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and will look up. The heart of a man who knows the Lord, and to know and knows how right it is to be faithful in prayerful communication to his God and his King. One of the things that happens in strife, my friends, is that prayers seem to dwindle. Sometimes in frequency. And as we go through those periods of struggle, our meditations are different and less often. But indeed, would our voices cry out to God regularly? As he is our God and our King, we need to be faithful in praying to him. It was even true of this psalmist that he prayed in the morning to the Lord. He directed to his prayers to him at the beginning of the day. But remember Paul's encouragement to the saints in Rome as well, as he encouraged them and asked them to pray for him in Romans 15, verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. He said, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." That you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. It is the joy of ministry to have the people of God pray for you. It is the joy of the Christian life to have brothers and sisters in the Lord walking with you. And they too are praying together with you and for you. To the God who hears our prayers. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. We considered this not very long ago, right? As Paul talked about the armor of God. Right? And we talked about prayer kind of being those buckles that keep the armor pieces together and strengthened and fortified. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So again, perseverant prayer is in view. But Paul also desired that Ephesus would pray for them, for him. That God would give him utterance, boldness to preach the gospel. Well, considering what Peter has said in 7a and 7b, why does he connect the duties of a husband's right living with his wife to his prayers? It's a good question. Prayer should be a daily part of the Christian husband's life, and we should enjoy unhindered access to God that we have in Christ and in prayer. When a Christian is thinking right, he prays. When a Christian's mind is on the things of God, words of prayer will flow forth. For we have joyful and thankful hearts. Again, as we talked about this morning, as we have a right view of God, and we have a right view of us in covenant with Him, and we have a right view of what He has done for us, we will be a thankful and a prayerful people. We must seek to live as the believers, the heirs that we are, even as joint heirs with Christ. And Peter calls us to live peaceably and quietly with our wives, because if we do otherwise, we need to know that our prayers with them and for them will be hindered. And what does Peter mean that they will be hindered? Well, hindered literally means to cut into. It's an interesting word, and it's a helpful word in providing this picture for us. It's like something blocking off a road. Beloved, our prayers will be hindered by sin. Sin breaks up the road to the throne of grace, so to speak. Psalm 66, verses 18 and 19 help us see this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. And so a question I have for you, husbands. Because of sinful strife, the outpouring of our desires to God will be hindered by our sin. Do you see that? Sadly, we may even come to a point when we aren't praying at all. The praying with one another will likely stop first, and as the trouble continues, our praying for one another may stop as well. I'll leave you with this. Men, be mindful and alert to your daily need to be honorable in your conduct with your wife by your living and understanding with her. See how God's call for her is to have a gentle and quiet spirit in her godly character and witness, and see how that is coupled with God's call to you to be thoughtful, caring, and gentle with her. It's a beautiful relationship, as we see the details of God's design. Gentleness and living peaceably with one another, they come together and they join together in the husband and wife. The aggressive, the prideful, the bullying husband has no place in a Christian marriage. And should such emotions and feelings rise up within you, they must be dealt with sharply, and they must be mortified and kept out of your heart and your mind. But also see that you respect your wife in ways that both you and she can see. Recognize the wonderful vessel that God has created her to be, especially in your life. She is your helper. And as you are gentle with her, protect and defend her. Joyfully walk with her as a fellow heir in the benefits that are both of yours in Christ. Even eternal life. But finally, seek to be faithful in these things, keeping sin at bay and out of your life, out of your marriage, and be ever so focused on being a prayerful man. Being prayerful and bringing your needs before the throne of grace, but also the needs of others. And really, first, should be the needs of your wife. Sometimes that's a challenging thing for men in ministry, because our mind is on the flock, Our mind is on other people beyond our home. But what about those who are right next to us in our home? Especially the other half of our flesh. We must not overlook her in our prayers. And so because of our shortcomings and our failures, husbands, we need to be quick to repent. We also need to be quick to forgive, that sin wouldn't take root and set up blockades or barriers or distractions that would hinder your prayers. And I really want to encourage you to be mindful of that today and this week. And if as you examine your heart and your relationship with your wife, you realize that there are such barriers or there are such struggles or there are such issues, seek to work on those and removing those by God's grace. Ask Him to be at work in you and in your wife that that would happen. For again, the big message here from Peter is that we would live lives that are honoring and glorifying to Christ, that are putting forth a good and a godly witness in this dark and unbelieving world. May God give us grace to do these things. Amen.